Thank you, Father, for the cross. But not only the cross, but the one who laid his life down on it. That place of forgiveness, that place of healing, that place of strength, that place of renewal, that place of comfort, that place of salvation. Without the cross of Christ, without the Christ of the cross, there would be none. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for even considering us, for being mindful of us. You've got so much. You rule the entire universe, yet you make each of us feel so precious and special because we are to you. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Good morning, everyone. And to you moms, happy Mother's Day. What a sweet blessing. In today's message, we are going to be talking about motherhood, marvelous motherhood. And we're going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. But before we get started, I do want to make mention, too, of a comment, actually. Let me get this started here. Pastor Billy had mentioned that this is he and Kathy's last Sunday here. And 6 years, when they walked through the door 6 years ago, they were both hurting. And God is magnificent. He's a healing God. He's a strengthening God. He's a loving God. He's a God that prepares a way for his purposes to be accomplished. And I am so grateful. I remember the very first day they walked into this building, I almost dropped to the ground. Number one, in shock, and number two, in gratitude. And I continue to have gratitude for them. They've been an inspiration to us as a body, to me and Jackie personally, and I know Angie and Kathy feel the same way too. And been a great blessing to the body. But you know, it's not like we'll never see them again either. You know, Billy still be teaching here on Thursdays for some length of time, but you know, amen to that. And our doors are always open. They know that, they understand that, and the activities that we have taking place here, they are always, always welcome. The body of believers over at Calvary Chapel in Macedon are always welcome here too. So it's not the end of a relationship. God is furthering his work, and that's a wonderful thing. And I thank the Lord for willing servants such as they are, just to do what God's asked them to do. And that really is a challenge for each of us, isn't it? To just do what God asks you to do. Because his ways are so wonderful. His ways are perfect. He leads and guides by his Holy Spirit. And then not only that, he gives us the strength to do what he asks. So thank you, Billy and Kathy. We love you. And we look forward to seeing more of you in the coming weeks, months, years, eternity in heaven.
We love you too. And happy birthday tomorrow, Dan.
Oh. Yeah. You're under strict orders. But thank you all. Thank you. I can't believe 66 years has gone so quickly. Wow. But I married a much younger woman. She's there like, what? Praise God. Praise God. Marvelous motherhood. And you know, if Mother's Day is difficult for any of you this year due to the pain of a relationship, the loss of a loved one, maybe dream of being a mother has not yet come to pass, know that our prayers are with you. And may the Lord give you the desires of your heart and fulfill his plans for your life. And not only that, you know, may you reach out to those precious women that have profoundly impacted your life, be it a mom, a grandmom, just a special woman in your life that's always been there for you. Reach out. Express your love and gratitude. I know I have a lot to be thankful for. So happy Mother's Day, ladies. once a year, and it probably should be every day, once a year we celebrate motherhood. But you know, when I think about it, once you're a mom, you're always a mom, right? It never changes. Moms are moms when children are being raised. Moms are moms when kids are asleep. Moms are moms as the children grow up. When the kids go off to college. When the kids get married and move on. When they have their own children. Moms are still moms when the house is empty of them. The memories of the pitter-patter of little feet running through the home are in the distant memory. You know, I remember, you know, when our kids were living at home and little, I could hear them running down the halls at night when they needed something. And, of course, Jackie was always there for them. The joy that children bring, that moms foster and nurture, it's a beautiful thing. And not only that, you know, moms are moms even when they become grandmothers too. Jackie calls it crazy love. Tracy, you know all about that now, don't you? There's a big smile. Yeah, something very different, something very, very special. Moms are still moms when it seems like that's the most demanding calling in the world. And it can be, can't it? They're still moms when there's sorrow and joy, all the things that are wrapped up in motherhood. It's to be embraced. Moms are always on, aren't they? You never get a break from being a mom. Although the circumstances and ages change things too, but you know, as I think about moms, moms have many, many roles. You know, they are certainly the nurturers in the family. They're the doctors at times. They're the nurses at times, cooks, nose wipers, diaper changers. They're the feeders. They're the cleaners, organizers, wardrobe specialists, shoppers maybe, meal planners, nutritionists, schedule keepers, they pay bills, they work in the home, they work outside of the home sometimes, they counsel, they discipline, they correct homework, they're very skilled shuttle bus drivers. Train children to be loving and responsible, productive adults. They are the ones that laugh with the children. They are the ones that cry with them when they're hurting. They are the ones that cry for them when they're hurting. They are the ones that worry about them when they step outside the house or even get on a bike to ride around the block. Moms sacrifice their own bodies through pregnancy and childbirth, and then they go through it. Some of them over and over again. That's all part of the calling, isn't it? They give the best hugs. They give a good ear. And they have a great heart. They're the bookkeepers. They're the egg beaters. They're the bakers. They are creative. They know how to make a dollar last a week or longer. Interior decorators, wedding planners, bridal consultants, all these things. They are forgivers. They remember birthdays and special moments, but not only birthdays, but also birth times, birth weight, birth length. All those things are tucked away in their memories. They remember pregnancy highlights and pregnancy lowlights. Moms bear the pain of their children. Moms are the kids' greatest cheerleaders. They're mechanics. They are skilled at using a butter knife as a screwdriver. And they're better than anyone that way. But above all, they are lovers of their children unconditionally and completely. You place an ad in a newspaper listing all of those things, and only moms would respond. Why? Because you're uniquely qualified. You're uniquely equipped by God for such a calling. Men won't even consider it. Even apart from the biological differences, men would say, oh, that's too big a job. She'll do it. That's what moms are for. But in any case, it's important that we celebrate Mother's Day because of all of its challenges. And there are challenges, right, ladies? All of its joys, all of its sorrows, pitfalls. And God's creative plan was to bring love and caring to light in this wonderfully vital role of motherhood. And motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love to be shared. It's about caring, isn't it? It's about compassion, sacrifice, blessing as you moms are carrying out your calling. And motherhood is indeed a God-given calling. It's one of the most demanding and certainly the most vitally important calling that God could place upon the life of a woman, greater than any career. If you're called to that, of course. Yet in many cases in today's society, motherhood is considered something much less than important. It's minimized. And oftentimes people say, well, what do? I'm a stay-at-home mom. What? What's the matter with you? No, what's right with me? I'm doing what God has asked me to do. Society needs to go back to the scriptures to learn about motherhood as God defines it, so that when the question is asked, what do? The answer that first comes to the mother's mouth is, I'm a mom above all things, and God has richly blessed me as I carry out His calling that He has placed on my life. And this call of God is wonderful if you're called to it. Not all are called. But why is this calling so great? And why am I calling motherhood so vitally important? Here's why. Because God established it that way. And He still considers it vitally important in carrying out His plan for mankind. So if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, there are several things I'd like to point out in this passage. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So the first thing, God created man in His image and after His likeness. In God's image. Now, what does that mean? It means that we are image bearers, aren't we? We bear God's image. Man was created to be a representation of God. How so? Certainly not as deity. Certainly not in His creative ability. Because God created something from nothing. How about all-knowing or omniscient? No, that's not us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. In His image, does it mean we're omnipresent? Well, of course not. Adam was placed in a garden. Are we omnipotent, all-powerful? Well, no. Adam couldn't even resist the serpent through Eve. So then there must be another image that separates us from all other created beings, from the animals. It refers to the spiritual aspects of God's nature. Scriptures tell us that no man has seen God at any time. John 1:18 says, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So we don't even know what God looks like. And oftentimes we think of God in human form, But that's how our mind works. And God did take on human flesh in Jesus, but the Father never revealed himself in form to man because he didn't want man to create anything in his image and likeness. We are the ones created in his image and likeness. God is often described in the Bible in human terms. Like we hear expressions like the eye of the Lord. Doesn't necessarily mean God has eyes. We don't know what he looks like. Or give ear to my prayer. Now, this is a human description. Does God have ears? Not like ours, I'm sure. But yet, he inclines to us. We tend to try to describe God in ways that we understand. But God never revealed himself in human form apart from Jesus Christ. So being in the image of God must mean something else, and that is made with the capacity to love because God is love. And he indwells those that have trusted in him. And how he has gifted mothers with the ability to love as God loves. I found this poem about mothers, and it's going to come up on the screen. I'll read it. There are times only when a mother's love can understand our tears, can soothe our disappointments and calm all of our fears. There are times when only a mother's love can share the joy we feel when something we've dreamed about quite suddenly is real. There are times when only a mother's faith can help on life's way and inspire us in the confidence we need from day to day. For a mother's heart and a mother's faith and a mother's steadfast love were fashioned by God himself and sent from him above. So yes, God, a precious gift from God. That's what God has given. He has established when God created man and women in his image and in his likeness. The second point we find in this passage is found in verse 28. It says, God blessed them. Speaking of man and woman, he blessed them. And the Hebrew word is the word barak. The word bless, barak, literally means to kneel down. And by implication, to bless God, to kneel before him as an act of adoration. But here in this blessing, in verse 28, it refers to God blessing man and woman. God stooping down to adore his people. Don't ever think for a moment that God doesn't adore you. And in this blessing, it's God's point to make it clear that he does. Well, how does God adore you? And this is for guys too. How does God adore you? Well, there's four ways. The first one, he adores you practically. Think about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Listen, you are his workmanship. And nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us that God does shoddy work. He does good work. And a good work he has begun in you, and he's faithful to complete it. You are his workmanship. And the word workmanship, it means a product or a fabric or a treasure. Now, what artist, if truly an artist, doesn't look at his work with admiration? Well, God is your artist, is the one that made you. He looks at you, he looks upon you, not only with admiration, but with adoration. He adores you. And how beautiful it is to know that of all the people that have ever lived, past, present, 6.5 billion people on this earth, and future, God adores you intimately and personally. You're special to him. You know, my wife Jackie often says he He treats me like I'm his favorite. And that's true, isn't it? He treats us like each of us, that like we're his favorite. He doesn't prefer one over another. He treats each of us as individuals created and fashioned in him, his image and likeness. When God created man, he looked around and he said all about creation. He looked at it, he said, it's good. But then he came to man, and God, speaking of man, said, it is very good. Sort of a superiority there, isn't there? God said, it is very good. That's how he looks upon you. And if he looks upon you that way with adoration, don't put yourself down. And it can become a habit, can't it? You know, putting yourself down isn't what God would have you to do. He never puts you down. What's he do? He lifts you up. And yet oftentimes we get so upset with ourselves, we put ourselves down. And many women, because of insecurity, because of what society, the picture society paints as what a woman should be, you look around and say, well, that's not me. You know what? You are special. You are precious in God's eyes. And he adores you. Don't let anybody put you down. And please, by the grace of God, don't put yourself down. It stands against God's view of you. The scriptures tell us this in Psalm 139, verse 14. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. The question is, do you know it? You need to know it. The word fearfully, it doesn't mean God's afraid of you. It means he marvels at you so beautifully and delicately. And that is how he's fashioned you, beautifully and delicately constructed and created. That's what that means. He looks at you as his workmanship. And it's like he says, whoa, that's beautiful. He's in awe of you mothers. The word wonderfully means you are set apart and like no other. Unique. You're different than man. You're different than your husband. You are set apart with a unique calling to be a mom. And as the world tries to blur the differences between man and woman, we go back to the scriptures and say, it is not so. It is not so. Uniquely created, uniquely qualified, and uniquely called. That's God's plan for you. Now, the second way that God adores you is he adores you permanently. It doesn't change. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It means perpetually and without end. That's his love for you. And it's perfect and it's permanent. And he can't help but love you because he is love. And when he looks upon you, his workmanship, he not only adores you and marvels at you, but he loves you in a way that's perfect and complete. He loves you in a way that's perfect and complete. He loves you in a way that's perfect and complete. Do you know that? Have you received it? Have you embraced that? And if you believe it, or if you don't believe it, then you must believe it by faith because God says it's so. And you know what? God cannot lie, and he will not lie. Believe it because it's truth. So God adores you practically, permanently, and a third way, he adores you purposefully. In other words, it's not by accident that you're here, that you're created by God. It's not an accident. And sometimes, you know, people can have a tendency to think, well, I just don't think God has a plan for me. But you know what? By virtue of your birth, by virtue of God's workmanship, you cannot deny that God has a plan for your life. and it's a good plan. How do we plug into it? Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to the Word. And let God speak to you. Let Him minister to you. And like Pastor Billy shared earlier, you know, get in the Word. Stay in the Word. God heals. God directs. God strengthens. Everything you need, you can find in Him and find in His Word. We must stay close. You know, sometimes parents refer to their children as an accident. Please don't ever say that, and don't ever think that about yourself, even if somebody told you that at one point. You are not an accident. God was very, very purposeful when He made you. And for every human being that He created, He has a purpose. God has never made a mistake. He has never had an accident. People have accidents. God does not. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And, you know, it's a wonderful verse, and we say yes and amen, but, you know, sometimes we stop short there. But we need to continue, because in this context of His plan for you, it's not a plan that God conceals. In the next two verses, after He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart." We need to hang on to this. We need to grab on to it. "You shall call out to me. You shall go and pray unto me. You shall seek me when you search for me with your whole heart." And here's God's part. He says, "When you do this, I will hearken unto you." In other words, I'm listening. I shall listen to you. He listens and He hears you. God doesn't ignore you. He hears your cries. Psalm 17:6 says, "I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech." In the word "incline," it's an active word. It's a verb that denotes an action. He actively stretches to hear you. That's the picture. And He wants to hear from you. No matter what. No matter what you have to say, He wants to hear it. If you're upset, tell Him. If you're filled with joy, tell Him. If there's something on your heart, share it with God. You're not going to overburden Him. He's the God of the universe. He holds all things together. He holds you together. He holds me together. And you know, God's purpose, His purposeful adoration of you is also this. He died, Jesus died on the cross for you. For you, in your place. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a group of people one day saying, "We're going to crucify that guy." No, it was part of God's plan, which was His plan for redemption, all by design. Acts 2:23 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." That says to me that God determined this need, and He met that need, the need for salvation, and He sent His Son Jesus to lay His life down, to die on a cross and become my sin. He did it on purpose for my salvation. And He said, "And you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So God adores you very practically, permanently, purposefully. And there's one more way. God adores you prayerfully. You know what? God prays for you. And I can tell you what, He prays for me a lot more than I pray. Here's what it says in Romans 8:26-27. It says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Praise God for that. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Did you ever experience that? I don't even know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. God, my mind is so mixed up right now, I don't even know what to say. But listen to this. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, our heart groans sometimes. And God takes that groaning, He says, I know exactly what's going on in there. And He prays. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and also maketh intercession for us. Now, there's twice in these verses, it says he maketh intercession. And if you're familiar with the King James Version, you know that suffix, E-T-H, means that God is always praying. You know, we're called to pray without ceasing. Do you pray without ceasing? I don't. But I know I ought to. But the Scriptures tell us here that God is always praying for us. Isn't that reassuring to you? He never stops. He's always praying, always interceding. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Then in Luke 22:32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But, what a great word, that conjunction. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we've seen in Genesis 1, we are created in the image and likeness of God. We've seen as God's creation how he adores you. And last, he said in verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He said, be fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful? It means to bear fruit. Well, what fruit is he talking about? Well, Psalm 127, verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So this role of a woman who is called to do so is to bring children into the world. Two women can't do that. Two men can't do that. That's why God said, one man and one woman. Be fruitful. Multiply. Make more like yourself and replenish. Keep the creative elements of God in motion. That's the role. Now, this is so incredibly special. God has gifted women to be the ones who are the instruments God uses to bring life into the world. You know, I think about an expectant mom. I remember when Jackie was carrying our children, our daughters carrying their children, others carry children. They have that wonderful glow about them, don't they? Except during labor. That's a whole different package there. That's a whole different game. But they have that glow because the expectant mom is being used by God to continue the creative process, which God said it's very good. Men can't do it. Only you, as a woman, have this very unique and incredibly beautiful blessing to be a partaker of God's creative process. Now, this concept of being fruitful or fruitfulness stretches well beyond child rearing or bearing, excuse me. It also includes child rearing, training them up, raising up children to be fruitful in their lives. In moms, including future moms, there are some things the Bible speaks of. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that they may teach the young women to be sober. In other words, serious, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. There's a lot there, isn't there? It's a tremendous amount. But God says this is the way it should be. God said, love your children. Be available to them. Be there for them. Well, when? When they need you to be there for them. Simple as that. Can be at any age. You know, our children are all grown and out of the house, but you know, they still call and have needs. They have needs. And we want to be there for them. Whether we agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. We need to be there for them, even when it's hard. You know, because sometimes we don't like what's going on, do we? We don't like what we see. But does that change our role as dads or moms? No. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 said, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What's this mean? We are to be in the mode of constantly, number one, being there, and then instructing, teaching, counseling, whatever it might be. You're on call 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And you know, when our kids call on the phone, if at all possible, we pick up no matter what, or call back very quickly. Because number one, we value those calls. And number two, there's needs that they may have. So we want to be there for them. We are to teach them in the ways of the Lord so they can be fruitful too. Deuteronomy 4, verse 10, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. What a wonderful opportunity. Now we're in the teaching process of our grandchildren. And little Nora, she's 8 years old. She was sharing with Jackie the other day some things from the scriptures. You know, when we were raising our kids, we had these CDs that had all these like Bible songs, but it was from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of the Revelation. And we've probably played them 1,000 times. And you know what? Here's where it went. Right in their hearts. And we purchased those same things for our children so they could play them with their children. And it's going into their hearts. So it's a wonderful thing to hear the little ones talking about the Lord. We're to train them up. Parents and grandparents. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You're called to nurture your children. Provide a loving environment, verbal support. And one of the most difficult things, at least for us, and maybe for you too, is giving your kids the freedom to fail. It's like, no, we see something not great coming up here, and it's hard. It's hard to say, well, just do it. You're going to learn from it. Sometimes we want to head it off at the pass, right? Don't we want to do that? But then sometimes when we head it off at the pass, we prevent God from teaching them something that they need to learn. We're to give unconditional love because that's the love Jesus has for them and for you. And you may not agree with them. You may not like what they're doing. But you're continually to love them. Because I can tell you this, that God doesn't always like what I'm doing. He doesn't always agree with what I'm doing. But you know what? He always loves me. He always loves me. You know, and that's a hard concept for much of the world today. You know, there used to be a day in my lifetime where you could disagree with a person and still love them. And now you disagree with people, they think you don't love them anymore, right? You become their enemy. Let's not any of us be guilty of that. Remember the love that Jesus has for you. Unconditional, perfect, beautiful, and then love your kids the same way. We are called to be an example of Jesus to them as well. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What greater example do we have than Jesus Christ? 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, which is love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's the example we're to leave. And last, leave a godly legacy. In Paul's second epistle to Timothy, he commented on his faith that was brought by example of his mother and his grandmother. And here's what he said in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. What's he talking about? The example of his mother and grandmother. What a wonderful commendation that is. Those ladies, so important, impacted his life. And God is using you women, you ladies, you moms, grandmoms, and even if you're not a mom or a grandmom, you still have a role that God has given you to be an example of love to others. Motherhood is a high calling, a marvelous calling that God has placed upon your life. Let's pray. Let's pray that God would continue to nurture you so you might nurture others, to strengthen you that you might strengthen others, to have grace with others because you've received grace and mercy. And for those that, you know, the moms that have gone before, that are no longer here, you know, we can't pray for them, but we can thank the Lord for them, can't we? So, Father, we come to you now and thank you. We thank you for our moms. We thank you for those that have already gone before us, and here we are as evidence of your call upon their life to be fruitful and to multiply and to teach and to nurture and to love on as we've experienced. Lord, sometimes there's painful memories. But Lord, we know that you're the one that can heal. You can heal. You can provide all the grace that's necessary for us to just walk in you and appreciate you for who you are and even give thanks. Give thanks for our moms, even though sometimes they're not perfect, but Lord, you are. So we trust in you. And we thank you, Father, for this great calling that you have placed upon these women you call mom. May each of these women understand in a greater way how much you adore them practically. You adore them permanently, purposefully, and prayerfully. And may each of them see themselves as you see them, fearfully and wonderfully made, beautifully and delicately constructed. And how, God, you look at them as your workmanship. And you say, she is beautiful. She's beautiful. Thank you, Father. She's wonderful. Set apart like no other and unique. And thank you, Father, for blessing us with moms and a blessing to these women for being a mom. We know that our precious Savior Jesus, in the incarnation, had an earthly mom. We thank you for her. We thank you for her example. We thank you for our moms. We thank you for their love. We thank you for all that they are, Lord, and in bringing us into this world and not only bringing us in, but helping us along the way. God, we praise you. I thank you for my wife, Lord, a precious mom, for the women here that are moms, so precious and wonderful. For our daughters that are now moms, Lord, and we watch them, we observe, we see, God, you using them to not only bring life into this world, but to nurture and love and train and keep and protect all the things, all the wonderful things, in many ways too numerous to mention, but all wrapped up into this wonderful thing called motherhood. So we praise you, God, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. We are going to share the Lord's table now. If you took a communion cup on the way in, that's wonderful. If you need one, raise your